Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, if you've been waiting, wondering, and just looking forward to the day when all of a sudden the committees dealing with all the impeachment stuff are run by Republicans, well, today was certainly your day, and Ted Cruz absolutely unleashed today. Not really on Horowitz, who led the effort to get the IG report, but just on the whole process and everything behind the wiretapping and everything behind the infiltration of the Trump campaign based on the Steele dossier, and the whole thing's built on a house of cards with these 17, they make it, the Democrats and the mainstream media make it sound like little mistakes here and there, like a wrong comma. But these are omissions and flat out lies that they found within the confines of what the FBI and the Department of Justice have been doing on this. So I've been listening today as much as I could, but I'm going to let you hear it for yourself. I know most of you are busy and working and have other things to do and perhaps better things to do, but this is part of my responsibility, is to pay attention to this stuff as much as possible and then to talk about it and bring it to your attention and hopefully provide some decent analysis. And in this case, something to look forward to, which is a hard thing to come by these days when it comes to this whole impeachment process. But I think this is definitely a little view of things to come. So I've got several stories I want to get to today, if we have time, as we go through Ted Cruz's comments. I've got about 9 minutes of Ted Cruz, but I'm going to break it up into four sections. And then I want to get into some things going on and some things that Shapiro has put out there. And really interesting to show you exactly what's happening. We talked about this a few weeks ago when essentially the impeachment idea has been around since, I don't know, early November 2016, when Trump was obvious that he was going to win and become the next president. And then they're talking about impeachment right away. So they write the end of the book, we impeached him, and now we got to fill it in. We have the introduction, he's the worst person in the history of the world, and a president that doesn't care about the law and doesn't care about the process, blah, 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 blah. And so now we got to fill it in. So in order to go from the first chapter to the last chapter, and the conclusion being we impeached the president, only the third president in U.S. history to actually be impeached, then now we got to fill in the story and make the narrative somehow fit and make it somehow make sense. So that's what they've been doing ever since. So you've got nothing but Democrat-controlled activity going on in the mainstream media, which is essentially the same thing. So today you see what it's going to look like when the shoe moves to the other foot, called the U.S. Senate. And so this was Ted Cruz talking directly to Horowitz about his report, which is like 400 some odd pages, which none of us have read. And we're just listening to people talk about it, which is why I'm listening to Ted Cruz, because I've interviewed, sat down with Ted Cruz a couple of times, long format interviews, about an hour, just the two of us at a table. And he is a brilliant guy. He loves the country, knows the Constitution, and he's very trustworthy. And he was the most conservative candidate of all of them, going back to the primary in 2015, 2016. So when he steps up to the plate, you better pay attention. So I'm going to play for you these four different segments from him going at Horowitz today. And he wasn't really going at Horowitz. He was just taking the information Horowitz had gathered, which was limited to the Department of Justice and the FBI and what they could find. They're not doing a bunch of interviews with people outside of that context. They're not doing anything outside of the United States, where there's all kinds of rabbit trails take you all around the globe, especially to Ukraine and Russia, obviously. But with Cruz going at it, it gives you, I was like, okay, I can get into this. I'll enjoy this. And the more witnesses, the better, when this thing goes to trial in the Senate, which it will. But here's how it started on CNN and MSNBC versus Fox News and a few other locations. This is how it started. They did not include Senator Lindsey Graham opening statements. So with Adam Schiff, CNN, MSNBC, as soon as he shows up, everything stops and all eyes and all microphones and all cameras are on Adam Schiff and then Nadler the last few days. Fortunately, Nadler was just a couple of days. Praise the Lord. But on Adam Schiff, it was just nonstop Adam Schiff. So as soon as he says something, they're Johnny on the spot. But you get Senator Lindsey Graham, who's the head of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, and he does his opening statements CNN and MSNBC go dark. They did not cover it. Now, I doubt that there's many of you out there that are still thinking that CNN and MSNBC are somehow like journalistic entities. They are not. Now, Fox News has its bias as well. Fox News is not pure as the wind-driven snow, okay? But with MSNBC and CNN, it is so obvious CNN now paying the price as their ratings are the lowest they've been in years. But can you believe that? I mean, that should not shock anybody that they literally just blank it out. Now, we don't want to hear this. Why would they do that? Why would CNN and MSNBC blank out Senator Lindsey Graham's opening statements in the Senate Judiciary Committee? Because they know he's going to make sense. They know he's going to bring the other side of the argument, which they've been fighting to suppress, and to bring facts to light and to actually point a white hat spotlight of actual judgment on this issue, which they just, because the Republicans have no say in the House, but they do in the Senate. They control the game in the Senate, which is really where the game is mostly afoot. So that's just pretty amazing. Ari Fleischer, who used to be a White House press secretary, came out. These all because we go to Twitter, right? We want to know what people have to say. CNN is not taking the Senate Horowitz hearing live. Unbelievable. Perfect example of how bias works. It's not just what they cover. It's what they don't cover. Bill O'Reilly came out with this. CNN and MSNBC refusing to run Senator Lindsey Graham's opening statement in the Horowitz hearing. The most blatant form of media bias that I've ever seen. RIP American journalism. That's for sure. Steve Guest, after giving their airtime completely over to Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff for the past few weeks, CNN is not airing the start of the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on Horowitz's IG report, #StopTheMadness. And then Ronna McDaniel, the GOP chairwoman, said CNN aired everything Schiff and Nadler had to say. Why aren't they showing Lindsey Graham? Is it because the facts of how the FBI mistreated Donald Trump contradict their coverage over the last 3 years? Bada bing! It's exactly right. It doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't go in the book. So we opened the book in November of 2016, impeached Donald Trump. We closed the book, we being Democrats in the mainstream media. We closed the book with, we impeached him, and hopefully bloodied his nose enough because that's the only way we're going to beat him in 2020. And then they're also coming out and already saying, if Trump wins in 2020, it's illegitimate. Nadler did that over the weekend. They're already playing that game. So now we got to fill in the book, which is exactly what we've been listening to. Collusion, abuse of power again, and the impeachment, the two articles of impeachment that they're probably going to vote on next week. And then, of course, refusal to cooperate with Congress, which is not, by the way, against the law. That's called the U.S. Constitution. That's called the separation of powers. That's called checks and balances. That's the way it's worked for a couple hundred years, and it's worked pretty good so far. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back with Ted Cruz. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I am so excited. Thank you, Lord, that this is not everything in the world, right? This is important. No question about it. But hopefully you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is the King of your life. And you have that going for you, to say the least. And if that's true, then this is all super important. But it's not preeminent. The gospel's preeminent. The kingdom's preeminent. We have a much longer future to look forward to than the current massively frustrating present that we exist in. And so that's awesome. So we should always be able to have that little step, that little jump in our step, that little kick in our step, that little hop in our step, because you're in possession of that truth. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. And even when things are bad, when we have shootings, terrible things that go on, which are all heartbreaking, we should all be in prayer over, we should all be engaged and be involved with and broken because of the injustice of it all. It's not permanent. So we should have this little reserve called joy, which is not touched by all this nightmare stuff that we're dealing with in this country and around the world. In this case, we're talking about today's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, which is much different than having a committee hearing in the House, because in the Senate, it's controlled by the Republicans, in this case, Lindsey Graham. And on this committee, the aforementioned powerhouse, Ted Cruz. So I'm going to play this for you because this is just a little sign of things to come when this actual impeachment trial comes along. And I hope they do a full-blown trial. I hope they don't try to cut it short and pull all the great witnesses that you would like to have those witnesses in your stocking for Christmas. But this is just going to give you a little glimpse. This is Ted Cruz talking about the IG report put out by Horowitz, and this was going on earlier today in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Just listen to how he deals with this, because we have this to look forward to. It's awesome.
Information. I absolutely agree. So this 434-page report outlines 17 major errors and misstatements that were made by the FBI or DOJ in securing FISA warrants. A number of them are deeply, deeply troubling. These are not typos. These are not small inadvertent errors. These are grotesque abuse of power. Let's focus on a couple of them. The primary subsource. Primary subsource, and indeed the first error you note in the second, third, and fourth application for the FISA warrant is that the primary subsource reporting raised serious questions about the accuracy of the Steele dossier, which we now know was a bunch of malarkey, to use a term that's been in the news lately.
Now remember, the Steele dossier is what was used to go in and get these FISA warrants so they could start spying on sending people in and recording the Trump campaign, okay? The Steele dossier is the foundation. That's what Cruz is talking about here.
And that the FISA court was not informed of that. Now let's get specifically. So the basis of this Steele report was what's referred to in your report as the primary subsource. That was the principal basis. And the FBI interviewed that primary subsource not once, not twice, but three times in January, March, and May of 2017. So that's the basis of this dossier. What did the primary subsource say? As the OIG report says, the interviews with the primary subsource raised, quote, significant questions about the reliability of the Steele reporting. What did the subsource say specifically? As your report goes on to say, it says Steele misstated or exaggerated multiple sections of the reporting. It says that portions of it, particularly the more salacious and sexual portions, were based on, quote, rumor and speculation. It says that some of the basis of that came from conversations with, quote, friends over beers and statements that were made in, quote, jest.
Okay, so that, did you hear that? So the foundation of all of this, the Steele dossier, and all the information came from statements made in jest, statements made over beer. That's where this came from. And you're going to talk about building your house on the sand. But again, remember, you have to make the narrative fit your conclusion. Your conclusion is we hate Trump, we got to get rid of him, we need to impeach him. So you're going to do whatever you need to do. You're going to highlight what you need to highlight. You're going to ignore what you need to ignore. You'll insert, you'll remove, whatever it takes. Because you got to make the story fit your conclusion. That's what Ted Cruz is talking about here.
And the primary subsource also says to take the other subsources, quote, with a grain of salt. Now, the FBI had that information, knew that the basis of this dossier was saying it's unreliable. And what did the FBI and DOJ do? In renewal application number 2 and number 3.
And he's talking about renewal applications. These are to get the FISA warrants so they can spy on the Trump campaign, okay? Knowing that, the FBI knowing that, it's all weak, bogus, over a beer, taken with a grain of salt. And that's what they went to the court with. But do you think they told the court that? Of course not.
The FBA advised the court, quote, the FBI found the Russian-based subsource to be truthful.
Total lie.
And cooperative.
Total
with
lie.
Zero revisions. You note that as the most significant misstatement, and that is going in front of a court of law, relying on facts that you know are unreliable without any basis. That was the number one. The number two.
Now, what do you think would happen to you or me if we did that? Go into a court of law to make a case to the FISA court, which is kind of a secret court. Go in there and make statements and make a case based on something you know to be false and weak. What do you think would happen to you or me if we did that? That would be big trouble, right? So he's just pointing. These guys went in there. And why would they do that? Is that just sloppy police work, sloppy FBI work? No, that goes to intent. Why were they doing it? Now, what Horowitz has come out and said is, I didn't find any evidence, and he mentions this very specifically. You know, he's lawyered up on this, so he's mentioning things very specifically so he doesn't get blamed for things and he can't come back on them later. Didn't find anything specifically to intent. Why did they do it? That's why I said, we could find nothing in this type of evidence and this type of evidence where there was political bias. But there's intent. There's reason. Why did this happen? Okay. If it happened to you, if we did that, we'd be hosed. But the FBI, well, no, because that's inside the swamp. So that's what Ted Cruz is talking about. Then he goes on to his next point.
Major error in the applications was omitting Carter Page's prior relationship.
So who's this guy Carter Page? And what's his previous activities? Is that germane to this? Why should we be listening to this guy? Does it matter what he's been doing? With respect to him having any conversations with Russia, okay? I know this is kind of in the weeds, but this is really important. Plus, it's giving you a taste of what's coming. When they can actually start bringing the truth to light. Get out of the narrative and go to the truth.
Now, we now have evidence that Carter Page functioned as a source for a United States intelligence agents. That's a pretty darn important fact. If you're telling the FISA court, hey, the fact that this guy, Carter Page, who I don't know this guy, Carter Page, but the fact that he's talking to Russians, really suspicious. Well, the fact that he's serving as a source for U.S. intelligence agents is pretty darn relevant to why he's talking to Russians, because we have lots of sources that are talking to bad guys.
Okay, do you hear what he's saying there? So Carter Page, they're like, oh, we think this guy's talking to a Russian. And then they don't include the information that he was already involved with talking to Russians as an asset with the U.S. government. This guy's been talking to Russians for a while. So then they look at it and go, oh, he's talking to Russians. So without that context, without telling the FISA court and the judge, hey, this guy, Carter Page, he's been talking to Russia for a while. Oh, then why is this a big deal? Well, it isn't. But that doesn't fit the narrative. So they leave that out, which is omitting on purpose, driven by a political bias. I love this. Go Ted Cruz. We'll hear some more when we come back. This is Steve Noble.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Just teeing up Ted Cruz here today. Ted Cruz, if you want to know what it's going to look like in the Senate when they do the impeachment trial, which they're going to do, then now all of a sudden the Republicans are in control. You got people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, even Ben Sass. But Ted Cruz and Mike Lee especially are going to be just devastating. Lindsey Graham's pretty good, but he doesn't have the mind of Ted Cruz. So Ted Cruz in there with the Horowitz report and with Horowitz. This was earlier today in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Totally controlled by the Republicans, so it's a totally different game afoot. Okay? So he was talking about his first point about, hey, the Steele dossier, which is the basis of all this stuff to go in and invade the Trump campaign, they knew that was weak. They knew it was bogus. They knew it was innuendo, guys talking over beers, just salacious, ridiculous. But they didn't bother to tell the FISA court judge that. So they hid that information. In order to do what? In order to get the FISA approval so that they could bug the campaign and send people in there and record conversations. And that was motivated by what? Politics, of course. Now he's going on to his second point, okay? This is really good. I just want you to hear. This is just a little foretaste of what's going to happen in the Senate hearing when the Republicans are in charge. Okay, so this is Ted Cruz talking to Horowitz.
The number two major error in the applications was omitting Carter Page's prior relationship. Now, we now have evidence that Carter Page functioned as a source for a United States intelligence agents. That's a pretty darn important fact. If you're telling the FISA court, hey, the fact that this guy, Carter Page, who I don't know this guy, Carter Page, but the fact that he's talking to Russians, really suspicious. Well, the fact that he's serving as a source for U.S. intelligence agents is pretty darn relevant to why he's talking to Russians, because we have lots of sources that are talking to bad guys.
So when you put it in truthful context, and the fact that Carter Page is talking to Russians is no big deal, because he was already doing that in his capacity with the U.S. government. Does that make sense? I hope you understand that. This is a big deal.
And when you don't tell the court that, you're deceiving the court.
Yep, trouble.
But it's worse than just deceiving the court. Because, as the OIG report details, an assistant general counsel in the FBI altered an email, fabricated evidence, and reading from the OIG report, specifically the words, "and not a source," had been inserted into the email. That email then was sent on to the officials responsible for making the decision to go forward.
Lying to a FISA court.
And as the report said,
this is crazy. It's Ted Cruz.
Let me read on page 256 of the OIG report, the final paragraph.
Talking to Horowitz.
Consistent with the Inspector General Act of 1978 and following OIG's discovery that the OGC attorney had altered the email that he sent to the supervising agent, who thereafter relied on it to swear out the final FISA application. So the men and women at home need to know what's happening. A lawyer at the FBI creates fraudulent evidence, alters an email, that is in turn used as the basis for a sworn statement to the court that the court relies on.
Man.
Am I stating that accurately?
That's correct. That is what occurred.
Now, you have worked in...
That's amazing. The FBI fabricating, lying, omitting, on purpose, for political reasons, to get the FISA warrant so they can go in and infiltrate Trump's campaign. And Horowitz says, yep, that's what they did. But Horowitz won't go to intent. All right? But that's what Ted Cruz and the rest of them are doing. And that's what definitely what they'll get done when they have the Senate hearing for the impeachment, which is going to be a blast. Unfortunate, only the third president in U.S. history to be actually impeached. Nixon was never impeached. He resigned before they could get to it. So this is a big deal. This is historic. This is bad for the country. It's bad for the future of the presidency and Congress because they've totally weaponized the process. It's nothing but politics. And politics drives it all. But Horowitz wouldn't say that. But Durham and the rest of them will. Heads are going to roll sooner or later.
In law enforcement a long time, is the pattern of a Department of Justice employee altering evidence and submitting fraudulent evidence that ultimately gets submitted to a court, is that commonplace? Is that typical?
I have not seen an alteration of an email end up impacting a court document like this.
In any ordinary circumstance, if a private citizen did this, mm-hmm. fabricated evidence, and by the way, what he inserted was not just slightly wrong.
Now listen to this.
It was 180 degrees opposite what the evidence said.
Lying
so
and fabricating.
So the intelligence agency said this guy is a source, and he inserted this guy is not a source. If a private citizen did that in any law enforcement investigation, if they fabricated evidence and reversed what it said, in your experience, would that private citizen be prosecuted for fabricating evidence, be prosecuted for obstruction of justice, be prosecuted for perjury?
They certainly would be considered for that if there was an intentional effort to deceive the court. On this one, I'm going to defer because, as we noted here in the sentence you indicated, we referred that over to the Attorney General and the FBI Director for handling.
So he's being very careful here. He doesn't want to go to intent. Would they be prosecuted? He's not going to answer that question. But he's saying, well, that basically every walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck, right? But he's refusing to say that. Because he's political too. He's done a great service to this country for years. But he's a political person too, and he's covering his rear end. So you gotta remember that.
Third major omission that the Department of Justice and the FBI
this is Ted Cruz, earlier today.
Did not tell the court is that this entire operation was funded by the DNC, was funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign and by Democrats.
So they go into the FISA. This is amazing. We've known this for a while, but they actually hear this in open, quote-unquote, court with the Senate Judiciary Committee with somebody like Ted Cruz is just wonderful. So they go in there to the FISA court, right? And all the stuff that they're using to justify themselves was all bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC. They did not tell the FISA court that. Do you think it's relevant? Of course it is. It politicizes the whole thing, which is what Horowitz is saying. Oh, well, we can't say there's political bias. The whole thing wouldn't exist without political bias.
It was an Oppo research dump. Look, at some level, this is the most effective Oppo research
dump
in history. Because the Department of Justice and FBI were perfectly happy to be hatchet men for this Oppo research dump. Now, throughout every one of the filings, DOJ and the FBI didn't inform the FISA court that this was being paid for by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. Is that right?
That's not in any of the FISA applications.
So they didn't tell the court that. And it's not like DOJ didn't know. Indeed, one of the senior Department of Justice officials, Bruce Orr, his wife worked at Fusion GPS, the Oppo research company being paid by the DNC. And he became the principal liaison with Steele without telling anyone at the Department of Justice that he was essentially working on behalf of the Clinton campaign. Who thought the Department of Justice was, and by the way, several Democrats, it's interesting seeing Democratic senators.
Now, you can't see this, but on the video, he's looking at Feinstein and Leahy. He's looking at them. This is beautiful. I love this. This is Hardball, which is exactly what we need. This, again, Senator Cruz talking to Horowitz about the report in the Senate Judiciary Committee controlled by Republicans. So now it's a different game in the Senate. Totally different game. Drove me nuts. Probably drove you nuts in the House. You're going to enjoy everything that happens in the Senate. That's why I'm playing this, to give you a little view into what's going to happen when they do the Senate trial on the impeachment of the president.
Senators wanting to defend this abuse of power. Several senators, Senator Feinstein said, I wrote this down, the FBI didn't place spies in the Trump campaign. Senator Leahy said something similar. Well, that may be true, not spies in the Trump campaign, but reading from your report, in particular page 4 of the executive summary, your report says thereafter the Crossfire Hurricane team used the intrusive techniques, including confidential human sources, to interact and consensually record multiple conversations with Page and Papadopoulos, both before and after they were working for the Trump campaign, as well as on one occasion with a high-level Trump campaign official who was not the subject of the investigation. So they didn't place spies in the campaign, but they sent spies to record senior members of the campaign in the middle of a presidential campaign when that candidate was the nominee for the other major party that was the opposing party to the one in power. Is that right?
They send confidential human sources in to do those.
This is crazy level stuff here going on. Now, Cruz finishes it up with a great little slam, but you got to hear this. This is so good. Ted Cruz earlier today in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Did anyone at DOJ, who at DOJ knew about this? Did the Attorney General know about this? Did the White House know about this?
Based on what we found, nobody had been told in advance.
But once
nobody
it was happening,
knew about it,
did they know?
They did not. The only evidence that somebody knew were the line attorneys in NSD, in the National Security Division, when they were told very selective portions of what had occurred. Nobody knew beforehand. Nobody had been briefed. And frankly, that was one of the most concerning things here, is that nobody needed to be told.
And I can tell you from my time at the Department of Justice and from my time in law enforcement,
Now, he's got about 30 seconds left to finish up his comments, okay? But I want you to hear it in total. I don't want to cut it short. So, it's an inside job. It's politically motivated. It's directed at Donald Trump. They lied to a FISA court. There's all kinds of laws being broken here. And for what reason? Horowitz said, we couldn't find any proof of political bias. The fact that we're having this conversation is the proof that there's political bias. It's the only reason behind it. That's exactly what's going on. But things are different in the Senate, which we should be hopeful about. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Okay. Ted Cruz's closing comments when he was running out of time today in the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to sound like when the impeachment trial shows up in the Senate. That these guys, who are very capable, who will be in charge, will be able to... These guys are like tacticians extraordinaire. It's awesome. So, relax, have a little hope, because I think ultimately this is going to be good. It's bad for the country right now. This abuse of power is bad for the country. This use of the impeachment process, which has been politicized and weaponized, is bad for the country. But hopefully we're going to see, and we need to be praying about this, just for truth and justice. I'm not praying for the Republicans to win. I'm praying for truth and justice to win. That's our prayer. That's our prophetic place in this story. It's not to the right, not to the left, but to the truth of God, from the Word of God. That is the place. That's where we need to come down. So I'm not praying for Donald Trump specifically to, quote unquote, win. I'm praying for truth and justice, which are close to the heart of God. It flows right out of his character, okay? So Ted Cruz finishing up his comments today in the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's strong the whole time, but really finishes with a flurry here. I backed it up just a little bit.
NSD, in the National Security Division, when they were told very selective portions of what had occurred. Nobody knew beforehand. Nobody had been briefed. And frankly, that was one of the most concerning things here, is that nobody needed to.
So Ted Cruz was like, who up the line knew all this crazy stuff? All these lies, these omissions, the Steele dossier, which is bogus and they knew it, but they played it off to the FISA courts as if it was real and relevant and trustworthy. They lied their way through the whole thing. Did anybody know? And Horowitz is like, hey, the fact that there were a lot of people that didn't know is part of the problem. This is all under the radar, which was obviously politically motivated. But listen to how Ted Cruz handles this.
To be told.
And I can tell you from my time at the Department of Justice and from my time in law enforcement, any responsible leader, when hearing that you're talking about sending in spies and sending in a wiretap on any presidential nominee, should say, what in the hell are we doing? And by the way, the people up the chain who are saying we didn't know, if you had responsible leadership, there's no more important decision than you make. I can tell you, when I was at DOJ, if someone said, let's tap Hillary Clinton, or let's tap Bill Clinton or John Kerry, the people there would have said, what in the hell are you talking about? What was going on here, this wasn't Jason Bourne. This was Beavis and Butthead.
This wasn't Jason Bourne. This was Beavis and Butthead. Classic Ted Cruz, okay? Thank you, Lord, for a man like Ted Cruz who's in the midst of this now, who finally gets the shot at the plate. Give the guy the bat and let him get up to the plate. You'll see the same thing with Mike Lee. You'll see the same thing with Ben Sasse and many others. Lindsey Graham, but Lindsey Graham's nowhere near the force that Ted Cruz is. And Mike Lee, they're constitutional experts and incredibly sharp guys. That's going to be awesome. But that's what he's saying. You tap the you're gonna wiretap a guy that's running in the general election for the presidency of the United States, and nobody up the chain of command knows anything about it. That's dangerous if it's even true. Okay, I think people up the chain of the command knew about it, but everybody's covering their rear ends at this point. So, but I'm gonna go jump back over to this. This is a story Ben Shapiro wrote about what just happened in the House. Okay, and the House is gonna vote next week. Most likely, they're gonna vote to impeach. We'll see if Nancy Pelosi cuts some of the Democrats loose in the moderate districts, because this is hurting them. The polling shows them this is hurting them. It's hurting them in the battleground states and in these close districts for Democrats, where the districts kind of split. And when you hear that language, that just means it's pretty close to even between Democrats and Republicans. Okay, she might cut them loose and say, you vote the way you need to vote because we can't afford to lose the House, which very well could happen. This could totally blow up in their face. Okay, so that's what she does. So we'll see you next week. But this is Ben Shapiro wrote this article. House Democrats completely manufactured both impeachment charges. Because like I've been saying for a while now, the beginning of the book was written in November of 2016 when they started calling for impeachment before the Electoral College even voted. Then the end of the story, the end of the book is, we impeached this scumbag president. That's the end. Now they're filling in the middle. They got to fill it in, try to make it make sense. Okay, and this is what Shapiro is alluding to here. There's no obstruction of Congress. This came out today. Because obstruction of Congress is just called the president saying, no, I'm a separate branch. That's what I was talking about earlier. This happens all the time. However, obstruction of justice is when you refuse a court order. It's a whole third branch of government. Jonathan Turley was pointing this out in his testimony before the House Judiciary Committee last week. These are now two completely manufactured charges. They are creating charges out of whole cloth that have no precedent in history or law. None. Ben Shapiro is an attorney. There is no precedent. The Washington Post admits there is no precedent in history or law for the idea that you can impeach solely based on, quote unquote, obstruction of Congress. It doesn't exist because, again, obstruction of Congress, put another way, is just called the executive branch is unitary and the executive branch is not subject to all of the whims of Congress unless the judiciary agrees that the executive branch's privileges are overruled by the ability of Congress to seek information. Oh, that's right. This is actually a constitutional construct. These sorts of battles happen every single day between the legislature and the executive. That is not obstruction of Congress any more than it was obstruction of Congress for Barack Obama to declare privilege over documents regarding Eric Holder in Fast and Furious. That was not obstruction of Congress. That was just called how this stuff works. In other words, checks and balances, okay? So what Trump is doing, blowing off Congress, is just checks and balances. That's the independence of the executive branch pushing back against the oversight of the legislative branch, which doesn't have full sway over the executive branch. That's the way it's designed to work. Tension. Checks and balances. Back to Shapiro's article. You're not going to see a single Republican defection along these lines. Not one. Democrats are going to say, well, it's an abuse of power. There's precedent for that. I mean, there were abuse of power charges against Nixon and Clinton. Against Clinton, there were actual criminal charges in the impeachment document. Against Nixon, there were actual criminal charges in the impeachment documents. And by the way, the House actually voted down the abuse of power allegation against President Clinton. They voted for the crime, the perjury stuff, and the obstruction of justice stuff. They voted down. The Republican House voted down the abuse of power allegation against Bill Clinton under Newt Gingrich. It's a sham, Ben Shapiro writes. Everybody understands it's a sham. And man, if that doesn't blow back on Democrats, I'd be shocked. They've gone so far over their skis at this point. They are so far beyond what the impeachment process was supposed to do. And this is coming from somebody who is perfectly willing to listen to all the evidence on Ukraine. Ben Shapiro is writing this. Again, I'm not parroting the Trump administration line that everything was perfect. I don't believe that for a second. But this is so far beyond the scope of what impeachment is supposed to achieve. It is so far beyond the scope of normal legality that it falls directly into the category of abuse of power for Democrats, which is exactly what's going on here. This whole thing is political. That's why just you go back 2 years ago to the now infamous Nunes memo. Okay, go back 2 years ago where the mainstream media, Nunes puts a memo out 2 years ago. And here's what it is. The Republicans of the House Intelligence Committee. Here's what they reported. And the whole mainstream media went ballistic, as did the Democrats, and just totally threw this memo out. Said, oh, this is a joke. Now compare this to what we've actually learned to the truth. There's 4 points here from the memo. This is 2 years ago. Kind of prophetic. Number one, a salacious and unverified dossier formed an essential part of the application to secure a warrant against a Trump campaign affiliate named Carter Page. True. It's exactly what Horowitz's report shows. Number two, the application cited a Yahoo News article extensively. The story did not corroborate the dossier, and the FBI wrongly claimed Christopher Steele, the author of the dossier, was not a source for the story. He was. So the Nunes memo was true again, point number two. Point number three, Nellie Orr, the wife of a high-ranking Justice Department official, also worked on behalf of the Clinton campaign effort. Her husband, Bruce Orr, funneled her research into the Department of Justice. Although he admitted that Steele, quote, was desperate that Donald Trump not get elected and was passionate about him not being president, this and the Orr's relationship with the Clinton campaign was concealed from the secret court that grants surveillance warrants. So they didn't tell the FISA court that a bunch of these people were on the Clinton payroll and the DNC payroll. That was also true. 3 out of 3. Pretty good, Nunes. Point number four. The dossier was only minimally corroborated and unverified according to FBI officials. Absolutely true. Horowitz said it's true. It is true. 4 points. And the mainstream media all slammed that report. Just as a big joke. Rachel Maddow, a sad trombone for Trump. It's a joke and a sham. Salon called the memo fake news. New York Magazine's Jonathan Chait, the Nunes memo is fake and the Russia scandal is very real. CNN had their good buddy James Clapper and Obama intelligence chief say the memo was a blatantly political act. John Brennan, Obama's CIA chief, who said it was exceptionally partisan, Politico claimed the memo makes no sense. The memo was 100% true, and the facts are now showing that. Welcome to the Senate trial. That's what they're going to be able to do. You're actually going to hear the facts, and the facts are going to burn the Democrat impeachment process. Now, look, watch this. This is really funny. Schiff, two years ago, came out with their version, which is what they've been parroting ever since. Listen to this. Number one, this is the Schiff memo. 2 years ago, FBI and DOJ officials did not omit material information from the FISA warrant. False. We know that. That's false. Patently false. Number two, the DOJ made only narrow use of information from Steele's sources about Page's specific activities in 2016. False. Number three, in subsequent FISA renewals, DOJ provided additional information that corroborated Steele's reporting. False. Number four, this is, oh man, it's unbelievable. This is Schiff's memo at the same time as Nunes' memo 2 years ago. Nunes memo, batting 1,000. Schiff so far, batting zero. Number four, the Page FISA warrant allowed the FBI to collect valuable intelligence. Funny. Number five, far from omitting material facts about Steele, as the majority claims, Department of Justice repeatedly informed the court about Steele's background, credibility, and potential bias. False, 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 false. He's 0 for 5. Number six, the FBI conducted a rigorous process to vet Steele's allegations. False. And number seven, Steele's prior reporting was used in criminal proceedings. False. He batted zero. Nunes batted 1,000. The facts are on the side of, in this case, Donald Trump. And this is what's going to happen in the Senate. So pray for truth and justice. Pray for protection of the president as far as the president's doing things that the Lord is pleased with. Pray for the let their intrigues be their downfalls from the Old Testament, which basically means let them choke on their lies. I hope every one of them gets saved and goes to heaven. But in terms of truth and justice, they all need to be burned on that one. Truth and justice needs to win. That's what we need to pray for. For the sake of the country and for the sake of our witness as Christians. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.